Let's bring Zvezda in the story. You're too emotional.
Klasičan ciganin.
Ajde, let me know about rest time. I actually want to know.
Dobran, dobro večer, poštovani gledalci i slušalci. Dobrodošli u novu epizodu podcasta 675, podcasta koji govori o košarci. Moje ime je Bogdan Milenković, a sa mnom kao i uvek Luka Mihajlović. Druže, dobrodošli.
Zdravo, zdravo, Bogiša.
Sponzor ovog podcasta Superbet.
Ide naša reklama sa MVP-jem.
A reklama sa Nikolom.
Nikola. Ili ti pronađeš super vibe. Ili super vibe, pronađe tebe. Nikola Jokić, Sambor Shuffle once again.
Pronađi svoj super vibe, Superbet. Kod Super 675 sve velikim slovima da prilikom registracije ostvarite taj bonus.
Taj bezuslovni super bonus.
Link je u opisu videa. Stiže novi podcast, stoga je vreme za novi has.
Poručite vaš has preko Volta i uz kod 675 range u prvoj poručbini, odnosno u prve četiri poručbine, ostvarujete 1000 dinara bonusa. Tako da uživajte i prijatno.
Prijatno. Prijatelj emisije.
Kafeterija.
Srećan 10. rojan, braćo.
Popićemo kafu.
Sa našim gostom.
Ako on pije kafu, ali znamo da voli kafeteriju.
Boom.
Today we're joined by a player whose resume speaks for itself. EuroLeague and EuroCup champion, Olympic silver medalist, two-time EuroLeague first team center, and winner of both ABBA League and Serbian League.
Maybe that Serbian League was not with a club who you liked.
Matias Lesor, welcome to our show.
Thank you for having me.
Comment ça va, Matias? Or možemo na srpski kako si?
Pa sve ok, vrate. Da, I'm joking. All is good, all is good. But I'm still doing my rehab, still on the process to come back on the court, but everything is fine, everything going well, so everything is green.
So do you know when you'll be ready to come back to the floor for the EuroLeague this season? We're only asking because of fantasy. I got you on my captain last year.
I don't know yet. I don't want to put a date. I said that the first time. Before I came back for the Final Four, I said I didn't want to put no date. And I did put a date, and it was wrong because I came back a little earlier, and then it caused me to be out for a longer period. So now I will just go really day by day. And whenever I'm ready to hoop, I'm going to be back on the court.
Okay.
I'll make sure to text you to know a little bit earlier. To prepare like the team around you.
I got you.
You're expensive.
You cost too much.
You're expensive.
No, he's going to go down, maybe. I don't know.
Let's start with the most recent events. First question, did you watch the Eurobasket?
Yeah, of course I watched it. It was painful to watch, but from my perspective, it was a great Eurobasket. It was really, really a good, I think, advertisement for European basketball and basketball in general. But it was just hard for me because I'm injured and I wish I was good. I was on the court.
So what do you think, we wanted to ask like from a player's perspective, what do you think the biggest reason was for so many blowouts in this season for Eurobasket? We noticed a lot of blowouts, but also a lot of injuries for very important players, in our case, very important player.
It was a lot of injuries, and that's the only thing about this Eurobasket is that I don't want to say like it was not a real result because Germany result was amazing and they deserve to win and they've been playing good for the past years and you know it's nothing to say about this title but you know I think the Euro will have a different pictures with no injuries and if every team could have all their players available and I think Germany won also because of that and the two teams that was in the final I think was the two teams with the best rosters I think. We're including Serbia and also the two teams we didn't have to deal with many injuries. Germany didn't miss many players. They have most of their key players. Obviously, Wagner was hurt, and Voigtmann, I think, also was hurt, which is two important player for them. But I mean, a lot of teams they're missing more than two important players, and they don't have another four or five players to back them down like Germany has. So I think this was also one of the big key for both teams. Also Turkey, I don't think they missed anyone from Turkey.
Yeah,
Besides
Osman, I think Jerry played through injury, I think.
Besides this thing with Fenerbahce, I think probably I don't know if any I know because Shanley was there, so it was no problem with Fenerbahce actually. So now everybody was there for Turkey, and you know that's the two team who didn't get affected so much by injury. So you know I think this also played a role in the result of this Eurobasket.
And what do you think was the biggest problem for France besides that you were injured?
That Wavy was injured, that Gobert was injured, that Fournier was injured, that Strasser got injured, that Sal got injured. Like the list goes on and on. So we had a lot of injuries, and you know it was obviously we was all hoping and expecting a better result from the team, and you know all the players are accountable, and you know they know that the result that they achieve is they underperform, and everybody wants to do better. But I also think that you know when you put that in perspective, it's you know it's difficult to win in these conditions. A lot of young guys, they did a great job, they did what they could, but he was lacking of experience sometime, and yeah, it shows on the court. And I think the main problem was the injuries. Is I don't think it's anything else than this.
You have a lot of injuries, but the roster still looks good.
The roster was still good because we are really deep, and like I say, it was a lot of young guys. But like I say, in this competition, you also need a lot of experience, and I think that's also how Germany won. You saw how Schröder was really composed and focused at the end of the game, and where Şengün was a little bit, I'd say, nervous. I mean, I don't want to say anything, you know, that can be take the bad way or something, but you know, he's a 23-year-old guy who carries his country to all the way to the final, and you know, he's gonna learn from this, and for sure, the next time he's gonna be in this position, he's gonna handle it a different way, I believe. But you know, you see how Schröder was calm and composed. He made these two shots. Even Theis, who didn't have the best game, he still have this experience, and he stayed calm and waited for this shot. And that 3-point he made was really important for Germany. So experience is really important in this competition. And beside talent, you also need that.
Okay. You played a lot of power forward at the Olympics, guarding players like LeBron, Durant, Davis. How was that experience for you?
He was great, man. He was a dream coming true because, you know, I didn't play against them in the NBA, so I played against them in the Olympics and in front of my people in my country, and it was even better like that. And you know, you're learning from this game. Obviously, we was all hoping for a different result, but you know, it's games like that that you know when you were a kid and you watch TV, you like, oh, imagine one day you play in the Olympic final. With our country against these guys, and it's something that we accomplished, and it was something amazing to live and a great experience.
Talking about NBA and dreams of NBA, we know that there was interest from New York, but your rights right now are with Washington, right?
I have no idea.
But
I think it's Washington. Yeah, I think it's Washington.
ask agent.
I think it's Washington. He got traded. I got traded like three times this summer. I don't know. Every time I don't even know. It's just whenever a team got interest, okay, my rights are there. Oh, my rights are there. But almost every year I get traded, so I don't even follow it anymore.
Was there a point in your career where there was a big opportunity for you to go to the USA?
I mean, the biggest one was the last 2 years. Even before the Olympics last year, I mean, 2 years ago. Before the Olympics, no, it was last year. I already had contact with NBA teams and especially New York, because they had my rights. We was already talking, but you know, I didn't have a buyout in my contract, so you know, Pana made it clear that there was no money that could make me leave. So it was clear like that, and so the door was closed. And we stayed in touch. We tried again after the Olympics, and also different teams. was interested, but New York didn't want to trade me anyway. And even if they traded me, it was going to be the same problem because it was the buyout problem. And after this, I got injured, so also this played a big role. And with these teams, I'm not going to give you a contract if you're injured, or it's going to be partially guaranteed or stuff like this. And I didn't want to deal with that, so I just stayed there and I took no risks just to be able to focus on my rehab and do everything I can to come back.
Can you like bring us closer to you played the Summer League for Philadelphia 2017? Can you like bring us closer to what's the comparison? I know that was a long time ago, 8 years now, but what's the comparison between being a big guy in the Summer League, let's say, and in Europe? So, how would you compare those two?
You guys be playing NBA 2K? You see, when you play NBA 2K, the guy don't want to pass the ball, that everybody, whoever got the rebound is gonna shoot. That's the summer league. It's like this in summer league. Like, you're a big man, and I'm a guy always trying to play the right way, and I never play to try to show off or to be the main guy. I only trying to win, and I came with that mindset in the summer league, even if I was young, and I was just like, you just don't cheat the game. You just play the game the right way, and then things gonna come to you. And in the summer league, it's not really like that. And it was an experience to leave. It was fun to be there, but I didn't even play many games because it was a problem with my rights. So I played only two or three games, I think, something like this. But yeah, it was not, for a big man, it's difficult to play in the summer league.
So that's why you shot mid-range shots. Now we
Yeah, I
know.
shot a
Now we
mid-range.
know.
I had to shoot it, like, and I made it, I think. I think I made it.
Yeah, you made
So yeah.
two or three, I
Yeah,
think. Can you maybe tell us a secret? You played with Markelle Fultz there. Was everything okay with him then? We wanted to. That was kind of an interesting fact for me. You, Timotel,
it
and
was
then.
kind of weird because the situation wasn't clear. First of all, like I said, it was some problem with my right, so I was not allowed to make practice with contact. So I was working out separately from the group. So I was kind of like really separate for everything. So I was not in the mix of everything. But from what I was seeing, it was already a real situation where he was feeling some discomfort. But he could play through it. And even in the summer league, if I remember right, he didn't play many games also. He played, I think, two or three
Two
games
games.
also, so something like this. And then he didn't play the rest of the summer league because of his shoulder. And yeah, it was weird to see. I didn't really understand what was the problem with his shoulder or anything, because on the workout he was looking good, and until this thing came out, it was really no sign of injury, and then this kind of fucked up his career. So it's really a weird situation.
Yeah, for the first pick of the draft.
And what are your thoughts about Wemby? Do you really think he's everyone calling him the next superstar?
He's him.
I can say whatever I want. It's facts. Like, he's it is. He I mean, with what he do, I don't think anybody can still doubt him. Like, he's just that good. Like, he's really living up to the expectations, and it's not easy for a big guy like that to be able to do what he's doing. And I mean, it's just, I mean, you can just watch it and you understand immediately what's the hype about. Like, you don't even need no comments. Like, it's nothing to say. Like, it's just that good.
I'm gonna say we were doubters because, but mostly we were going from the Asphel standpoint. Like
Yeah.
he was so young.
He was so young, yeah.
But you have like the aspect. But Luka was young, but you can't different positions. You can't. You can't.
Exactly, exactly,
Yeah,
exactly.
yeah. You
I
can't think
mean,
of it
yeah,
like that.
Luka was physically more ready than Wemby at this time, but because it was so much hype around him that you forget his age. Even till this day, like, everybody has so much expectations for him that nobody really remember how young he is, and he's been like that the whole time. Like, even when he was in Ontario or when he was in Asvel, nobody ever talk about his age. They just talk about his performance. And when you are playing and you get in this position, it shows a lot, and it means that you're really on the top level.
It looked like that in the Olympics as well last year.
Exactly, exactly.
Now we're getting to the part our audience is most excited about, and that's your time in Serbia.
Yeah.
So You played for both Partizan and Zvezda. From your standpoint right now, I would say, we would say, you're a legend in the EuroLeague.
I
So,
appreciate it.
give us the most important lesson from your time at Partizan and the most important lesson from your time in Zvezda. So, what were it was your rookie season in Zvezda, and you were already kind of experienced in Europe in
Yeah.
Partizan. So, what was your most important lessons?
I would say rest are I learned a lot of lessons here.
Talk
I learned a lot of lessons, but the
free.
most important, I would say,
Watch out, we had Dusan
I like
Olimpijevic
Dushan. I got a good relationship with him. He was. I got a good relationship with Dushan. When last time I saw him, we shook hands, we talked, and it's all good with Dushan.
as a guest.
I can't say that about everybody, but with Dushan, it's good. But
he
I
said
would
good
say
things about you.
the biggest lesson is that
Your
nothing is
relationship
certain.
with Tomic.
I would say that nothing is certain in life. Like, you can never take anything for granted. That's what I learned in Red Star, I would say. Because until then, everything was going really nice for me, and everything was going there, and then I kind of hit a wall.
And the lesson in Partizan.
I think in general, playing for Jelko, you learn that being focused is something that is really, really important in basketball. The mind part, where you have to always look what's going on, always be aware. You can never relax when you're on the court, whether it's in defense or offense, because it's always something happening on the basketball court. And yeah, it's I think this is what I remember the most from playing Partizan, is that, a lot of things happened for me in a good way because I was way more focused than I was before.
Did kind of talking about Željko, did you notice a lot of things opening up in your playmaking out of the pick and roll once you got at Partizan? Because a lot of stuff that we noticed was you didn't have that aspect of your game beforehand, but once you got there, once you started like hitting those reads and standing in point just to see out of the pick and roll what's happening, is that from Željko's standpoint, or is that something you noticed on your own?
I think it's a mix of both. I think it's something that I already had in the past, and that Jelko helped me to polish it. Because even him himself, when I was there my first year in Partizan, when we were still in EuroCup, he was telling me that your basketball IQ is really underrated. Like, you really understand the game, you really can read the game, and like you're like he told me that you really kind of like, almost like a point guard, the way you understand the game, and it's something that other coaches didn't really try to see in my game, and something that Jericho saw. But I think that it's something that I kind of always had in me, and I always, even though I didn't have this reputation, I feel like I was always a guy who could understand the game better than a regular big man of his age, or a regular big man. And yeah, I just think he saw something in me that other coach didn't see, and he dig inside of me more than just an athletic big who can rim run and get rebound and block shots. And he really tried to develop the basketball player that was in his hand, and not just utilize what I already had.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, because had known you in the past as a rim runner, and once you hit, I remember like you cutting the ball from slipping the pick and then fake passing one end, and you just got an open lane, and I'm like, okay, this is the different level.
Matthias
Yeah.
doesn't have short roll.
But back then also, people didn't use me on that. They just wanted me to catch lob and to deep roll. Nobody is telling me, all right, catch it on the short roll and watch what's going on. And I didn't have many occasions, but the couple of times that I was making mistakes, I was not a perfect player. But I think when you watch clips of me of back then, you can see some gleams of, or sometimes he was not doing it as much, and it was not like something that he was a key of his game like it is now. But you could see some glimpse of it sometime in some clips that I watched from back then.
You made a special connection with Grobarine Arena, but tell us the story of how you were a godfather on the Serbian wedding.
Did it hurt you to say I was Especially with the Grobbery, or he was okay to say it?
He has to
They
for this
tell me to
episode.
say.
He has.
Oh man,
I'm hurt.
that story was crazy. He just happened naturally. The guy came to me after the game, and he just asked me, "Can like we getting married next?" It was I don't know how long before, but he's telling me that he was gonna get married, and him and his wife wanted me to be their best man, their kume.
Kume.
And it was funny to me, and at the on the point I didn't know what to say, like I was shocked, and then at the end I just say yes, like it was I don't know, or I could say no anyway, so you know it was such a funny thing, and it was so nice the way he asked me, and it was so spontaneous that I could only say yes, and it was a great experience, and we're still in touch right now, we're still texting each other from time to time. He texted me not too long ago, and I have to text him back. I didn't text him back yet.
Yeah, the media really kind of loved that story because nobody knew what would happen, and you would just see like a picture on the media of you standing behind them, like the most random picture ever.
And then it's the video of me singing and stuff like this. It was funny. It
Yeah,
was funny.
exactly. So Alexa said in our podcast that year when the fight happened, let's call it like that, that we would have won the EuroLeague. So what do you think our chances would be in the Final Four if we got through?
In the Final Four, it's 25% for everybody. But honestly, I agree with Alexa. And I think that at this moment precisely, we was the best team in Europe. And then when you watch the Final Four from the EuroLeague from February until the playoff, I think it was the best team in Europe at that time. And we played against a lot of big team. We beat Olympiacos at home. We beat Madrid at home. In Madrid, we had a good game. We fight with them, but we were still not the team that we was at the end of the season. The only team that was causing us trouble, we lost to them twice, was Barcelona, and we wouldn't play them in the Final Four, if I remember right. So at the end, we would just have to play against team that we already played and that we already beat, and that we was really confident. And besides talking about other teams, I just think that us ourselves, we was just in the best shape possible, and everybody was in the A game. Everybody really, even Smiley at the end of the season was playing really good. Yam understood his role perfectly. Ioannis was also kind of giving us really good minutes. Beside the main guy, I would say me, KP, Zach, Dante, and also James. Beside us, it was also the guys around who was also playing their best basketball. And I think that, I mean, it's a lot of with if, well, you can see a lot of things. But yeah, without that fight, I think we would have won EuroLeague, yeah.
Yeah, I'm feeling angry. Feeling
Okay.
angry
Yeah,
again.
it hurts me. Every time I
Again
talk
this
about
year.
this, it hurts me because
Yeah.
a lot of
Again.
things would have been different.
And me also.
I think we would have kept the team together. I think a lot of things would have been different. Probably I would have, I don't know, I would have won EuroLeague or two. I don't know how many I would have, but I don't know what would happen. But for sure, I think the history will be different if we won the EuroLeague that year.
And not to get you fined. But what are your thoughts on the suspensions handed out in that fight?
Too much.
I mean, it's everybody gonna have his opinion. I think that they just say, okay, we're gonna suspend two players there and two players there, and then so they didn't want to give, I say, an advantage for a team, but you know, they suspend the best two player of a team who was playing with a short rotation, and they suspend two role players, I would say, even if they was important in a team that was already way deeper than us. And I don't think it was fair, you know. I don't think the suspension handy was needed. I think we should just keep playing. Both teams asked for no suspension. Both president, everybody asked for fines and no suspension. Even Partizan Party didn't ask for suspension in Yabusele. And I think this will be the best way, and that's how basketball will win. But I understand that also EuroLeague have image, and they want to protect the image, and they don't want people to think that they can do this in the playoff and nothing will go or will happen. And I understand. It's just I don't think it's fair, but I understand.
Last question about the fight, I promise. Since when you go way back with Gershon, Did he ever practice judo or wrestling? Because
His whole family is doing, his whole family is in the fighting. They're
you can
doing boxing or judo. Yeah, he grew up doing judo.
the technique, you can see the technique.
And the yeah, he before basketball, he was doing it was boxing or judo, I don't know, maybe both. But yeah, his whole family is into sport combat. And the crazy thing is that after I talked to him, he really didn't realize how crazy what he did was. Like, if you ask him, he would say, "I play like that with my little brother. Like, this is something I do with my little brother all the time, and he never got hurt." So for him, it's like something that like it's not that important. Like everybody in the world, he hand up an ESPN, I think. Even in the US, they talked about this. And for him, it was like, man, y'all over exaggerating. It was not even that bad. I do that all my life. Like with my brother, we do that to each other all the time and nobody get hurt. It's not even that bad. It just look crazy, but it's not. Like he don't even realize.
If you had to describe Željko Obradović in three words, what words was that?
Passionate, winner, and crazy. I had to say crazy, I had to say it.
What you said crazy. What was the first time at Partizan, if you remember? What was the time that you remember at training, maybe, or in a game, like first interaction with him, what you were like, oh, okay, this is maybe next level, this is maybe a little crazy, but I get what he's trying to tell me.
I mean, I didn't need to play for him to know. You just have to watch videos on YouTube of him yelling at players, and you understand immediately. You can just see him on the bench, all red all the time. Then you're purple, like he's just ready to lose it. Like for the slightest thing, he's just gonna go crazy on you. Like he, you, before I played for him, I already knew he was crazy. Playing for him just confirmed it. But he had it. He had some good. I understand his craziness now. Like. He's crazy, but he's not crazy. But it's just that everybody was, let's say, a genius, because I believe that he's a genius of basketball. All the genius, when people describe them, they describe them as crazy.
Do you still follow Partizan closely?
Yeah, you try to get me in trouble, huh? No, I do, I do, I
No,
do, I do. For sure, I do.
you come to
No,
games.
nah, for sure, I do. It's a thing that, you know. I said it a million times, and it's a thing I have a bond with, and something that will never change, you know. And I will always follow them, and it's always gonna be love, and it's always gonna be like that.
We saw that you keep in touch with your old teammates. So I wanted to ask, are you the reason Itudis called Madar Indianats?
No, Yab is the reason why everybody call him Indianas, because. Yam 24/7 is calling everybody like this. Like he called everybody like this. Literally. Like if he's going fast and you don't know, hey Indianas, hey Indiana, everybody, all day he's calling everybody Indianas. So at the end everybody starts to call him Indianas as well. And then like it's just like that. And I believe he said that a couple of times in front of Itudis. And if I'm not mistaken, Itudis is speaking Serbian fluently, so we probably say, okay, since you call everybody Indianas now, you are the Indianas. And it's the same way what it happened with us. But I think the first one to say it was Jelko, probably. I think Jelko said Indianas one time and just Yam liked it somehow and he just started calling everybody Indianas.
That's nice to know. That's nice to know. When you the season you left after you left Partizan, it was seen as a disappointment for us. So would you say, and also one of the biggest reasons it was said that that basically the locker room was lost. That's the year we changed the whole team after that season. So would you say that you were kind of the glue that was holding that locker room together?
I wouldn't give myself that much credit, but I just say that, you know, we had a group of guys and we built something, and the grass is not always greener somewhere else. And you know, when you and it's unfortunate, but it's like that. You know, when something is in your hands, sometimes you don't realize its value and you take it for granted. And it's a human thing to do that. You know, I don't want to say anything negative about anyone, but. It's a lot of time. We say that for everything in life. Even when somebody, when you lose a member that somebody that you love, that's when you realize how much you love them and how much it was important to you. And life is like that. So I just think that when we was together, you couldn't really tell because it was just happening. And then it's when somebody is missing that you realize everything he was doing for you and everything he was doing that you could see and stuff that you could not see as well. And yeah, I think we had a great locker room. You can see a million videos of us, hanging out together. Like he was no, a lot of time in the team, it's like groups more or less. Like this guy stay with these guys, and this guy stay with together, and this guy. And now he was not like that. Everybody was really together. From Balsha to James to Zach, Alexa, Yam. All of us was really locked in, and we was all together. And then, losing just one guy can just change everything. And because you don't know who's coming and what kind of energy the guy who will come will have. And I think that's what happened to Partizan that year. And yeah, it
It's
was
like
unfortunate.
that. It's like that quote. I don't know if you watch the TV show The Office. You don't know you're in the good old days until you left the good old.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
Exactly. It's
exactly.
the same for a player. You don't know a player prime until the prime is over.
Yeah,
So it is the same thing.
Let's bring Zvezda in the story. You're too emotional.
Klasičan Ciganin.
I did. Let me know about rest time. I actually want to know.
For the start, how big was the beef you and Petrushev have in their beef in derby games?
But it was really no beef. It's just that.
Oh, you froze for us. Wait.
The second.
You
Oh, y'all
froze. We
froze
can
too.
hear you,
Yeah,
but you froze.
same. Y'all froze too.
Yeah,
Now it's
now
good.
we're back. Now we're
Yeah,
back.
there you
Yeah,
go.
because it's a sensitive topic, probably
You
the
see, it gave me a
internet.
chance to say, I think about what you're going to say. No, to be honest, it was never no beef. It's still no beef. It's just that he was on the heat of the moment. He plays a certain way, and I'm a man of my words. And if I tell you something, I will stick to my words. And he plays a certain way. I told him to stop playing like that he was not necessary. I don't mind you playing physical, but doing stuff for no reason, like I'm on the free throw line, you're just gonna elbow me just because. And I'm telling you, I'm not even going for the rebound. You're just gonna go and elbow me just because. Or like you do stuff like that, and deep inside, I know that you like. Just don't do that. Like, I know you're not gonna. You don't want me to. You don't want shit to go this way. Like, you don't want this. It's not really you. You just play your game, bro. You got the same way you play, and you're not known for playing physical. You're not known for being a guy who hit people. You're not known for being a guy who likes to get hit. So let's not go there. Like, I like it more than you. I don't mind being hit. I hit people. I get hit. I really don't mind. So I just tell him a couple of times, like. Just stop doing that. Like, just play basketball. You're not gonna get me out of my game. You're not gonna like just. I'm gonna finish my game. Like, if you want to fight after the game, we can fight after the game. If that's what you want. That's
That's
what I
just
told him. I promise you. You can ask him. I told him if you want to fight after the game, we can fight after the game. But stop doing that.
he don't talk to
And
us.
that's when the police gets involved.
And then he kept hitting me. And then I told him. I said, "All right, if you want to hit me, then when the game is over, we can hit each other." And then he was just like, "Oh, keep talking, whatever you say, I'll remember." And I said, "Okay, we'll see. As soon as the game is over, be ready." And then,
And then the
yeah,
game is over.
the game was over. But I'm not. I gotta say that I'm not proud of this moment. It was. I don't want to show this image to kids, and it was something that I did on the moment. It's part of who I am. It's my personality, and I'm spontaneous. I'm just being myself. I don't trying to be fake. I don't trying to. But I don't. It's not the way that an athlete should behave. So, I'm not gonna be like, oh, I regret to do this or whatever, whatever. It's just that, it's not something that I will put on my resume.
Well, I mean, it's difficult to control your emotions when there's a game where there's 20,000 people cheering for you
Yeah.
or cheering against you. But I wanted to ask, not specifically for Petrushev, but did someone intentionally go out you to provoke you because now you have maybe a history of two, three incidents beforehand when you lost your emotions. Did you notice that some players maybe go in that
1,000%.
route?
One time. But the crazy thing is that this doesn't work. Like, despite you can see that, okay, it might sound crazy because I did get into fight and I do get in trouble sometimes, but it's not because of you, it's because I decided that I would do it. When I do it, I know what I'm doing, I know the consequences, and it's just that I'm gonna deal with what I'm gonna have to deal with after. Like, it's not like I lose my mind on the moment and I'm like, okay, he did something, I want to get him back. Like, I'm not someone, and I'm not, if you watch the video with Petrusev, you can see that I'm not even mad. You see, immediately I went to the fan, I started celebrating. It's not like somebody had to calm me down. Like, as soon as the thing was over, it was over. I don't need to be mad to get into fight or to do whatever. Like, it's just something, like I say, like, I told you something, I'm gonna do it, and that's how I am. And I was not, I was a lot of times they think they're gonna get me mad or they're gonna get me out of my game and they're gonna provoke me. And I really don't think it's working. I grew up in the street and I start playing basketball. I learned how to play basketball in street ball. So there is no referees, there is no fans, there is no fines, there is none of that. So if you talk crazy, you just gotta back it up. This is how I grew up.
But exactly. If you gotta back it up, you're gonna be ready for the smoke. I
Yeah,
think that's how the kids say
exactly. It's certain way. Like, obviously, I don't mean that every time you on the court, you got to be ready to fight. When you talk, it's part of the game, but it's certain limit that you shouldn't cross if you don't want to go all the way. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's certain limit. You know that, when we get there, I'm ready for everything that comes with it.
To go kind of in a different direction, maybe a little bit positive for Zvezda. When Dušan was a guest of ours a couple of months back, he had a very big praise for you.
Who that? Oh,
Dušan
yeah.
Olimpijević. He was a very young coach back then. So what was kind of a dynamic with him when he was your coach?
It was difficult to judge him because he was put in a very difficult situation. It was a lot of expectation around him and for Restar and his, serving teams, it doesn't matter who they sign or which player was the budget, they're gonna always say that they want to win EuroLeague, they want to go to the Final Four, they want to be in the playoff. It don't matter if the team is 20 million or 2 million, it's gonna be the same ambition. So, he was put in a situation where he was really young and some players was even older than him. And I think that he grew up watching some players, for example, I would say Pero was, I think, older than him, or Taylor Rossi was also older than him. And I think that him as a coach is players that he was looking up to more or less, and then he was put in a position where he had to coach them, and he have a really strong character, and I think that helped him a lot in that year. But it's all only to a certain point, and then it was not a winning team at that point, so it was more stress on him, and then some players, stuff happened between players, and it was hard for him to handle everything, and then I think it was too many things happening. I don't know. I don't want to say anything that I don't know, but I don't even know if they're asking his opinion when they signed Omis, for example. His stuff like that, I think he has no control on, or like some players. I remember that one time me and James Feldin was on the bench, and then we saw the team president was on the phone. And he called somebody on the bench to tell Dušan to play. No, it was not Dušan the coach. No, it was not Dušan the coach when that happened. It was the second coach. It was not Dušan. I take that back.
But
But anyway,
it's
he
good
basically called someone on the bench and tell him if he could play us or not. Like, I think he told him not to play us. So I don't remember if he was on the court. No, because I was on the bench when this happened. And I think he told him not to play us or to get James on the court. Yeah, I was not playing, and he called him, and he said to put Felding on and not Lesor. And
story.
then James didn't play the whole first half, I think. And then the second half, all of a sudden, he just told James to go in because we was losing, I think, or something like that.
That's how we work. That's our
Yeah,
club.
not no more. You change everything now. But yeah, it was. But just to say that it was a lot of things, I think, that was happening that was not in Dušan control at that time.
It looked like that, exactly. It looked like that, like he's young, but let's work around that he's young so we can have work.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was put there. So okay, he's young and he's gonna do what we tell him to do. And
Yeah.
I think that he didn't always do that. And yeah, I think this got him in kind of trouble.
Would you like to work with him again? Maybe in Partizan.
Yeah, I would like to. I don't know if he would go to parties. I don't know which team you support. I mean, he coached for Red Star, but I know sometimes a guy can play for one team and support the other one, or like an assistant coach or whatever. So I don't know, but yeah, he would be good to play with him again.
And what happened with between Zvezda and you? Anyway, why didn't it work?
I think it didn't work because I am who I am, I guess. And I was younger, and obviously I was not the easiest case to deal with. You know, it was my first year out of France. I was 21 at the time, so it was my first time playing, let's say, really high professional organization. So it was a lot of things that was new to me, and you know, I was just trying to be myself. And I remember when I was there, my agent at the time was Mishko, and then every maybe 2 weeks, Mishko was receiving mails from the organization. Oh, Matthias is wearing a sleeve in practice, and the next practice he don't wear a sleeve. He's worried about how we look more than how we play. Matthias came to practice with two different shoes. It was the beginning of, you know, mismatching shoes. Then it was a pair of Kyrie that was one was pink and the other one was like kind of yellow. And I was hoping we like, yeah, he wear two different shoes. One time they say I was wearing a headband, and yeah, he received a mail one time. They were saying that I was not running fast enough in the warm up of practice. I was the youngest guy in the team, and that I was not running fast enough in the warm up of practice. That's the type of things. And now at some point I was just like, you know, I just like they was talking about the way I dressed. They was talking about me going to the because I we was going to the gym, and sometimes he was in the locker room, and like the gym was not used. There was somebody was using the gym, so we had to wait in the locker room, and I didn't get along with everybody in the locker room, to make it short. So sometimes I was just staying in my car instead of going in the locker room and like hearing people talk about me, and it was gonna lead to something bad. I said, okay, I don't want to get in trouble, so I'm gonna just stay in my car listening to my music. And they text my agent about it. They say, yo, he's staying by himself instead of going to the locker room. He's staying in the parking lot listening to music on the phone with his friend, whatever. He come to the practice with his pants under his ass, and then like all type of stuff. And I was just not allowed to be myself. Like it's just I was just feeling like I was being controlled too much, and I couldn't be myself. Like if I cannot be myself, I just have to feel free wherever I'm at, you know, to I don't like to feel that somebody's trying to control me too much, like not me as a person. And I think this is what happened there. And then at some point, it was just like, okay, like we got into a clash, and then that's how I know Mitch, and then things went left after that.
Let's talk about something else. He don't like Zvezda.
Look,
Okay.
honestly, I was really, even after this, and I remember I say that because I missed the shot, and I'm like I say, I'm a really loyal person. And when I missed the shot, I was like, you know, even if he went like that and thing was wrong, I hope that one day I can come back in the club to make it up. But then when I was trying to sign in teams and they was calling rest of people, they was bashing me. They was telling a lot of bad things about me. I lost Euroleague contract because of that. Because rest of people call rest of, I was like, no, don't sign him. He's a bad player. He's a cancer for the locker room. He have an eye problem. He have this and that and all type of stuff for certain. Don't sign me. And this is what really got me pissed because, you know, I was a 22-year-old kid, like, because something didn't go well. And I was never, I didn't get into no fight when I was in Red Star, not with my teammate, not with anybody else. I didn't argue with anyone. I didn't have no major problem for them to say that I was a cancer in the locker room or for them to tell teams not to sign me. So I didn't know where it come from. And that was really like, my agent called me and said, yo, this team is interested. I said, okay. And then 2 days later, they called me and said, okay, they talked with Red Star, and then the report was bad. So now they withdraw their offer. And I was like 22, 23. I felt some type of way about this. And then that's when like I was like, all right, then fuck it. Like I'm gonna get my game back one day, and then that's it.
You missed that layup. We are over. Go to
I think this trade I won, but I think I won this trade. I think I won this trade. I think the biggest loser, I mean, I think rest of lost this trade, if we're being honest. So at the end of the day, it worked out for me more than it worked out for them. So I got 1 year league.
kidding. I'm kidding. We don't.
I know, that's why I'm saying it. Paulison also got one.
But this year, but this
And
year,
exactly what I was telling you before. You see what I was telling you before?
but one thing you didn't mention was on those emails. Maybe it was, we don't know, but we heard that year that the group you had went out a lot, partied a lot. So we just wanted to ask, how did you adapt to Belgrade? You mentioned it was your first year out of France. How did you adapt to Belgrade? Because Belgrade, it's a difficult city. We're not from Belgrade. We know that we kind of have that aura for Belgrade when you go there. It can suck you in very quickly.
Look, I was young, I was single, and when you go, look, I'm telling you honestly, when you go to Belgrade, they telling you about this as a good thing. Like you will see the nightlife there is really nice. You just have to control how you go out and what you do, but you will see you're gonna have fun there. It's really nice. It's a good city. So they advertise this part of the city. I never went out after we lost a game. I never went out after a bad performance. We win a game, like all right, let's go out. And I was not the only one going out, and some guys was going out more than me, and it was never a problem for them.
We heard that, yeah.
And it was never a problem for them. And if you remember, like I said, I was 21, and until December, I was averaging, I think, like 10 points and 6 rebounds, which was really good stats. And I think Doncic was the head runner for Rookie of the Year, or I don't know, like Rising Star. And I was second. I was doing good, like beside all this, because everything they were talking about was never about basketball. They never talk about my basketball performance. So at the end of the day, this was never a problem on this side. And I was going out. Yes, I will not say I was not going out. I was going out. But they told me I could go out after that. Just don't go out after a loss. Like if you lose by 30 points, don't go out. If you win the game, nah, whatever, you can do whatever you want. Nobody gonna tell you anything. So, it is true that I was going out, but I don't think it was a problem because first of all, I was not going. It was not influencing my basketball performance, and I think I was performing really well for the salary I was getting. And I was not even the one who was going out the most. Like it was going out together. I was never going out by myself. When I go out, people was with me.
We like to have a video segment with our guests. So this is kind of some videos of you. We'd like to get a little more context of what's the
All right.
background and
How
what's
many though? Which video is
the
going to come?
situation around
How
some.
many though? Which video is going to come? Well,
So this one is good. This one is good.
let's
So you mentioned that you guys call each other in the Anats. So who are
Yeah. But
the
that's because of, you see, that's because of Yam. I call him Davis Robert Indianas.
Anats?
That's because of Yam.
So with who are you best in touch with at Zvezda currently?
With Najvyša
Dekija, probably number one.
Čorić.
Probably Dekija. I'm cool with both Dekija and Logan. I'm cool with both of them. But also, I'm still in touch with Dylan. I'm still in touch with James. I was still in touch with Stefan, but I ain't talked to him in a long time. But I'm still my boy, and yeah, I'm still in touch with some of the guys here. Yeah.
Let's go to the next one. Let's see. Yeah, this one.
Oh, that's hurt.
So Bogdan wants you to convince him that you couldn't dunk this.
How?
I could.
You
I mean,
could.
like I say, I was young. Like he's, like I was talking before, his experience. And if you follow the year after, I was in the exact same situation with Malaga against Berlin, and I don't know who missed the shot, and I had the same putback, and I scored it. It was just, it's like I say, it's experience. I didn't like all these situations. I'd never been in a situation where I had to get a putback for a game winner. It was the first time ever in my life that this happened. And, I was scared. I didn't know what to do. I didn't want to miss. He's going so fast. And yeah, he's part of the game. Like, I mean, everybody missed shot. James missed the shot before me.
Yeah,
Yeah, exactly.
the open shot.
Everybody missed shots. Nobody finished 100%. It happened to everybody to miss shot. Obviously, it's a big shot. But when I missed the shot, we was just 2-1. So we still had the chance. It's not like the game. It's not like the game winner, and then it was game four. Like the series is over. We still had the chance to win. We lost the first game at home. Like it things happened before this shot. You know what I'm saying? Like, and honestly, I didn't even expect to be on the court. Because if you remember in the playoff, I was not even playing so much. Omic was playing most of the minute. So when I think I got subbed in a little bit before that, and I was even surprised to be on the court. Like shit, I'm on the court right now. I was surprised.
Okay, this next one is from last season.
Yeah, I like that one.
I just want
Posted a
you
video of that game not too long ago.
I just want you to know Bogdan was at the game.
Yeah.
I
How many
don't
lighters
know.
you threw at me?
I sing that
I didn't
song.
many lighters you threw at me.
You don't like Zvezda
I love it. I love it.
songs about you. You
Because
want to sing
they never sing
together?
it when I play bad, so I love it.
That's a great game, by the
Was a
way.
good game,
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah,
that's
it
a
was a
great
really good
game.
game, yeah. I mean, I think I won both time I came back since I left. I don't want to jinx myself. Take that back. I don't want to jinx myself because this year we're gonna
No.
go there and lose, and I'm gonna be pissed.
We're gonna cut this. We're gonna cut
You
this.
gotta cut this. You gotta cut this.
Okay, yeah, this one is probably the most popular one.
Yeah.
So what happened that after you left the frame?
After I left the frame, I went to the guy, and then security came. Nothing really happened, but they were surprised to see me come. When I came, it was a line of guys. It was all up, and then when I came, they started back up, and then the security came.
So you when you came, it was really quiet.
Yeah, I would say that. I don't want to make it seem like everybody's scared of me, but it was not. I at least the guy would tell me push it cool. His energy was different.
Do you only know bad words on Serbian?
No. There's only Sesky, brate. Ajde, kuša Sesky.
Kad ćeš da se vratiš u Partizan?
Kad Željko ode.
Jedan, dva, 3 godine, još 3 godine je pana.
Lepe pare u Panathinaikos.
Lepo plaća Janakopoulos.
No, honestly, I don't know. It's like I say, it's something that I want to happen, and I hope it's gonna happen. But right now I have to focus on getting back playing basketball. So,
Of course, day by day, day by day.
yeah, I say day by day, step by step.
So this is kind of a layered question. So which dunk is better? So this is the first one.
Yeah.
That's the first one.
Yeah,
And this is the second.
This is the second one.
I try to tease me, huh? Is that a question?
Bear in mind, Kalina was a guest of ours. He said this dunk was better.
Of course, it's not a question. It's not even because it's me, it's no question. Like, it's no question. All the rest of fans, they go pause this picture. They're lucky it's a picture because he barely dunked on me. Like, I jump late. I'm on the side. This is not compare. This is not comparison to me.
Okay,
Kalinic don't jump.
he don't jump. He couldn't. I jumped over him. How you want him to jump?
He see you and like go
It
dunk
was
on
too
me.
late. It was too late. Even if he jumped, it was his UC report. Poor you jump, it was the same result.
out of those three, out of those two, is Gershon over LeBron better than both?
I mean, it's more. I give it to him. Yeah, for sure.
You had like
It's
a front view. You had. You were like.
no. Yeah, that was. It was. Yeah, it was the moment. It was the what it means. It was in the Olympics in Paris. He was having a great game. Like he's nah. You put that in perspective, it was 10 times better.
Okay. Just so we know.
I let Gershon dunk on Kalinic, and I go dunk on LeBron. I traded.
We will tell this to LeBron when we have him on. He'll never. What was the feeling? So we're over with the video segment. Continue on with the
And
question.
or it's West than partisan.
Yeah,
No more
yeah.
than that question?
No,
You have him depressed.
I
No.
think you see. I think I'm not sure about this. I don't know if I still got my rest of our jersey or if I give it away.
Oh, we would love to have that
Yeah.
if you have it.
I give it away. If you want, if I find it, I give it to
What was the feeling of getting the call from Giannakopoulos right after you got injured? We like it's kind of a huge thing to have like a preparation to sign the contract, and after that big injury, having someone believe in you that much, what was that feeling for you? Were you surprised maybe?
I wouldn't say surprised, but he means something, you know, because I was obviously on a contract year and I was worried about that, and I didn't know how was the injury. Obviously, on the moment when the injury just happened, I was really panicking. I was like, "It's my first time being injured. It's my first time that I feel like my body gave up on me." You know, that's how I felt on the moment, and you know, I was really, really feeling bad and. I didn't know how severe was the injury, so I was like, imagine if my career is over, imagine this, imagine that. And when they told me it was this kind of injury, I was feeling, you know, way more relief and more confident that, you know, it was something I could deal with and handle. And you know, when he called me, it was a chance for me to just focus on my rehab, you know. And that's what I wanted to do. You know, we negotiate, but we didn't negotiate for too long. And because also I wanted to sign, and you know, I think I could negotiate more in trying to get something or whatever, whatever. But you know, I also felt like, you know, do I want to while I'm on rehab be on the phone and worry about what team says, and then when I sign somewhere, I will have to pass the medical test, and I don't know when I will come back, and. And if when I come back, it's not good, and then the word go out that it's not good, and then other teams are scared to. It's a lot of things going on, and I was like, okay, do I want to do this or do I want to just sign somewhere where that I already know that I feel comfortable, where I feel comfortable, where I know, you know, we got opportunity to win, and where I know that people trust me, and just focus on getting back, and you know, I chose that path. So, you know, they gave me this opportunity, and. It was a good thing to have this opportunity and not to worry about this part.
Is it true you are the only player in Pau locker room with two lockers?
Yeah.
Part of the contract?
No. But I mean, look, I got two lockers because I'm in the corner. In front of me, it's like a big park.
Sure,
So I
sure.
don't have much space, and I say I could decide either I was going somewhere or I was getting the two locker room, but I had to be in the corner. I said I don't mind being in the corner. I'm by myself, it's okay. And then I got my two lockers. But I got a lot of shoes and I got a lot of clothes. So it's useful.
Maybe that locker was for Valanciunas.
No, I don't think so. I don't think you will sit next to me.
So after Kendrick came to the EuroLeague, I think he kind of opened up that whole marketplace for NBA players that had NBA that had space in the NBA still to stay there but came to Europe. So
Yes.
how is your perception of that? Do you think even better players will start coming over in the next couple of years?
Better than Kendrick, I don't know, but I think it's opening a door, and we saw it this summer with all the players from the NBA who signed, and the guys who didn't really wait to see for the NBA market, they just signed in Europe really early. And I think seeing guys like Kendrick, seeing how successful he is, and the story and the legend status that he's building for himself here in Athens, he's aspiring for players because as basketball players, we're dreaming about different things and having a team that you that like being the main guy of a team, having stadium screaming your names, being a part of a winning team and being one of the main guys is something that we all dream of. Obviously, playing in the NBA is a dream that we all have when we are kids and that we want to realize and that this guy they did realize and for example, Looney Walker he was in the Europe went back to the NBA. I don't know if he still had a chance to stay in the NBA or not, but he signed Maccabi pretty early. I don't know if he had the NBA out. I don't know the detail of his contract, but he didn't really want he didn't really wait for too long because he saw that in Europe you can really also leave something and I believe that the story of Kendrick is also inspiring and he's becoming people's dream also to go in Europe and do like Kendrick Nunn did.
And is it true that Ataman sometimes shows up to the practice straight from the beach and wet swimsuit and flip-flops?
I don't know who told you that, but I don't want to be a part of this. I don't know. I plead the fifth. But he liked to go to the beach, though. I can tell you he really liked to go to the beach. Like sometimes practice time will depend on if tomorrow or the next day is sunny or not. If there's no sun, we practice in the morning. If it's sunny, he gotta go to the beach in the morning, so we practice in the afternoon.
We have
We have an answer.
answer.
But on a serious note, you mentioned like Željko is obsessed with details and having maximum focus, being maximum focused while on the court. How would you kind of compare their styles? Because we heard that Ataman is very much a player's coach in a sense that there's a lot of 5-on-5 and a lot of not that much details, but much like kind of flow on being on the court
I
together.
think a mix of both would be the perfect coach. I
Oh.
think a mix of both will be perfect. Like you mentioned in it, like, yeah, he should put gel code knowledge and his understanding of basketball. I'm not saying that Ataman doesn't understand basketball, though, because I know people are going to twist my word, but I'm saying, Jelko, if you put Jelko knowledge and Ataman way of handling players, again, Jelko knowledge to handle players is also, but it's just two different approach. And I think if you could have a mix of both, it would be something crazy, yeah.
So what are your expectations with Pau this season? What do you think this team's maximum is for this year?
I believe that we build a roster to win it all. Like, I think in the next years, I resigned for 3 years, Kendrick resigned for three, one short, so for two or three. So I think as long as we're here, probably are gonna be competitive and we're gonna try to win EuroLeague. I hope even after we leave they're still gonna compete. But I think that the it is teams and sports in general. It's like this, and teams have peak moment and they have down moment. And I think that Panathinaikos before we came was down, and I hope that when we're gonna leave, they're still gonna be at the peak. But right now, we're in a peak, and as long as we're here, we're gonna fight for that title.
Okay, so
Yeah.
to expect a good season.
Better than last year.
Okay, fair.
Okay. We got the chance to meet your wife and Madson at the pregame show
Yeah.
we hosted with them. And as recently we are new parents, do you have any advice for us?
Enjoy it. Enjoy every second of it because now it goes quick from crying and drinking milk to breaking everything in the house. So I enjoyed the moment where they quiet because this goes really fast. But no, man, it's congratulations first of all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's a blessing, man. Y'all gonna really see how much it is and how much of a blessing it is. And wish y'all and your kids and your family the best.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
For kind of the last segment, we have some like quick and weird questions for you to answer kind of fast. So the first one would be start, bench, cut, Kevin Punter, Feldin, or Fournier?
Start Panther, bench Fournier and catch Feldin.
Okay.
Why you say just a Panther name? Just, you say just Kevin.
This part.
I don't say
He's Kevin.
James Feldin, Evan
Anna
Fournier.
Panther is a reference.
Panther.
Ah,
You
okay.
see, you
We
can. know it is one Panther.
Yeah. KP, KP.
Željko
Ooh.
Rataman.
Ergin Obradovic. I told
Ergin
you a mix of both would be perfect.
Obradoglu.
Greek food or Serbian food?
Ooh. Greek food, Greek food. Ah.
Oh, come on. And our city is popular for food, for pljeskavica.
Yeah. I mean, look, for an athlete, Greek food. For a
Okay.
regular person, Serbian food.
Makes
Serbian
sense.
food is heavy, man. I don't know how Serbian be eating like that. It's true. I remember sometimes we go on the road and I won't say the
Say a name. It's past. It's past. Is
Well,
it
while in
Alexa?
Partizan, no, in Partizan. I would say one of our Serbian teammate in Partizan. We go on the road and his plate was like three piece of meat paws, like a plate full of meat, one slice of lettuce and bread.
Are you sure this isn't the
I promise he was a player, and every time we're on the road, we just look at him like, bro, what are you eating? How can you eat like that? Like before games and anything, like he would just take piece of steaks and bread and like some like sauce, whatever, yogurt. And one leaf of salad just to feel okay.
Geltia? It
And
sounds
now
like
he would eat
silence.
this. Like he would eat the whole thing. I'm like, bro, how you not heavy? Like your belly don't hurt. Like, how can you eat like that? Get some rice. No rice, no pasta, no salad, no nothing. Just meat and bread.
It does sound like Smiley.
I would say the name.
Okay,
But yeah, I always say the name. If I say it's not Smiley, you're gonna keep going until I don't say it's not him. So I cannot go there.
okay.
Favorite Serbian teammate?
Serbian teammate. Ooh.
Alexa will be disappointed.
No, I can't say Alexa. Alexa is annoying. Alexa is the most annoying teammate. Yes, he's annoying. Like it's 6 a.m. and Alexa's in the bus talking loud. Everybody half sleepy. He's here talking to you, telling you stories that you don't want to listen. Like, no, Alexa, you can't. No. I cannot go on vacation with Alexa. It's no way. You cannot have a morning like it look like it. Like you see how kids be. Y'all just have a kid. Like they wake up and they full of energy and they just the energy stop when they sleep. Alex says like that. Like he wakes up like he's on go immediately. Like we got trip early. I'm talking about the whole team. Like this on the bus, headphones on. Alex, I tap you on the shoulder. Hey, Matthias, bro. Like, bro, Alex, I'm trying to sit. No, bro, listen to me. Listen, bro. Hey, this is crazy, bro. Listen, I'm like Alexa, bro, you try to sleep and you're speaking loud so the whole bus wake up. Like Alexa, shut the fuck up. Like, it'd be like that. But I would say the best Serbian teammate. Sheesh, Deki was a great teammate. I'm still really cool with Deki. Dobrich too. Balsha, I'm really cool with Balsha. Trifa too. Trifa is funny. Trifa is probably the funniest one.
Oh, we didn't know he was the funniest one.
Yeah, Chipa probably the funniest one.
We want him on our podcast, but he didn't want to.
Yeah, he's not funny to everybody. I don't know. My favorite person from Serbia, well, not my teammate, is Aca Matković. I don't know if y'all know him. He's the assistant coach of Partizan.
Yeah, we
He's
know.
my brother. Me and him, we talk almost every day. Like, that's my brother. So I would say him. He's not my teammate, but I would say him. I'll give him flowers.
Okay. For the last question, we have top five players you played with. Like ever, share the court.
Wemby, Kendrick, Gershon. What is that? That's three. I gotta think. Let me go way back. Okay, this goes from what I was seeing. Okay, so it's when I was playing with them. When I was in Ontario, I was impressed by Chris Warren. I don't know if y'all know who this is. I was impressed by Chris Warren. And MVP. Y'all don't know MVP Devin Booker. MVP Devin Booker. Yeah. When he was in Shalom, he know.
One last one. This is I on the spot. Who's toughest to guard in the EuroLeague?
It depends on the day. On the bad day, nobody. On the good day, depends. You talking about right now or ever?
Let's go
Right.
right now,
Let's
right
go
now.
right now.
Damn. Which player we struggle to guard? Which players give us bucket last year? I gotta think. Shit. I would say to guard him 1-on-1. I think 1-on-1, Cisco is difficult to guard. Sylvain Francisco. I think 1-on-1 is one of the toughest guards to guard in EuroLeague. On when he's in a good day, yeah.
It looked
Yeah.
like that. It looked like that. You
Yeah, on his good
can
day.
switch everything, so it's a good answer.
Say again?
You can switch on every pick, so that's a good answer.
Yeah, that's what I was. I didn't want to say a big man because I'm switching on pick and roll, so I didn't. I don't think. I rarely got big man 1-on-1. Like, big man, we rarely got each other 1-on-1.
Matthias, thank you so much for being our guest. We had a wonderful time. I hope you did too. Whenever you're in Serbia, give us a call. It's all good.
Why you wear a Partizan shirt and you don't wear a Red Star shirt?
That's
No.
a good question for him. For him.
I don't want to provocate you.
You don't want to provocate me. You didn't do it enough, baby. You did it.
He has an FMP shirt behind, but he didn't want to wear it.
Oh, you don't want to rep FMP?
No. We are not the same club
Anymore.
anymore. It's
I got to say, no, it's okay. That's not good, yeah.
okay. It's okay. Everything
We hope to get a chance to catch you live and meet you live. Again, thank you for coming on our show. It was
no
really a pleasure.
problem, guys. Thank you for having me. It was really fun, and wish you guys the best again. And I hope this show gonna keep growing.
Thank you.
Thank
Thank you
you.
so much, Matthias. Have a good one. See
Thank
you.
you, guys. See you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Nadam se da ste uživali u ovoj epizodi.
Kakva priča, još jednom to da kažem ovog leta.
U ovoj fenomenalnoj priči.
Tako je.
Voli brat da se sprda.
Voli. Na tvoj račun.
Pa dobro.
Ali
Pa
sad, sad,
dobro.
sad,
Šta
sad.
da se radi?
Voli da polije.
Lajkujte
Šalim se.
ovu epizodu, komentarišite.
Bacite subscribe, zapratite društvene mreže, tamo će tek da gori, a gori još uvek, napadamo 80k pratioca.
Do sledećeg viđenja. Doviđenje, prijatno, čao, laku noć, vidimo se, ajde.
Vidimo se, čao, čao!